divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Sri Mati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're starting a new chapter today, chapter 19, the perfection of spiritual knowledge. This is a very interesting chapter in the sense that I think everybody here does quite a bit of math. That's probably one of your regular subjects. So I was once taking this test, and it had the instructions. It was a math test. It said, read the whole problem before you start it. But it was a time test, so you know what I did? I started it right away. Okay, and you're just doing one calculation, another calculation, another calculation. It's like 3 pages. I finally got to the last calculation of the verse, of the problem. And it was multiply by zero. Does everybody know what that means? The whole thing. So This chapter is a little like that. He goes through this whole chapter, and the last, I'll read the first verse, that's my verse, and the summary, and then I'll read the last part of the last verse too, just where you can see. It's a very fascinating idea because you have to understand it, and then you say, all right. Krishna does the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita quite a bit, so we'll go through that also. Thank you. And I have a story or two I'm going to try to work in here. The perfection of spiritual knowledge. This chapter describes how those who practice speculative knowledge eventually give up their method, whereas the pure devotees remain engaged in devotional service eternally. Also described are different practices of the yogis, beginning with yama. You know yama? Yama, niyama, those are Sanskrit words, which means do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Everybody likes that, right? Don't do this, don't do this. Well, anyway, he's going to do that also. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna states to Uddhava, quote, one who is actually wise, who knows the truth of the self, and possesses transcendental insights, rejects this world of duality and the so-called knowledge meant for facilitating enjoyment of it. So I think I'll just, because we're in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, and some of the words they use have been developed over a course of time. So for instance, it says one who's actually wise. So we know in the Bhagavad Gita, 5:22, this is what distinguishes a wise person from one who's not wise. He says he doesn't delight in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the senses. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and the wise man doesn't delight in them. So we can see if we're wise, But generally, we're not. That's why we're in school. We're here to learn. Because we still think there's happiness in the sources of misery. So they know something we don't know, and we're here to find out. Would you like to take pleasure in the source of misery? That doesn't sound very good. So the wise, they figured that one out. And also 3:28. Okay. They're actually wise. They know the truth. So the truth is something that will let you see that what you're thinking is happiness is actually the source of misery, because they have insight. You know what insight is? There's outsight, right? What you're looking for everything. But here they're talking about when you look at something, you wear spectacles. You want to see. So instead of seeing with your spectacles, you inspection. You have use your eyes to see inside. So that Krishna explains that also. We're going to go into that a little bit. That's 269. We're going to do some around those activities. So we're all going to develop how to insight. Anybody like to see inside? Not an x-ray. It's a little different than that. And then here, another clue. What happens when you have insight rejects the world of dualities. There's a big word, duality. All it means is two. So what is the two that they're talking about? Because jnanis, they generally think it's one. So here they're saying that they learned something about this one is that it appears to be two. And what the two is that there's matter and there's spirit. That makes up two. But when you become insightful and you realize it's actually one, it's Krishna, and he has his different energies, and we're under the control of one or the other, according to our choice. You make the choice, like you can join the army, and then after you join the army, you say, I think I changed my mind. They say, you signed in right here, you're ours. So you can make the choice, but it comes with more to it. All right, so I'm going to read a little bit more, because we had these words used. So now you know what wise is. Truth. Truth. There's different kinds of truth. We're talking about absolute truth. Absolute is different than relative. Okay. Anybody who's walking around, like maybe downtown or something, there's a street light. So it lights up a little bit as you're walking. The street light maybe lights up 100 feet. So you're in the light as long as you're under the street light. But then you notice there's the moon's out, and it lights up. But wherever I go, the moon is also right there lighting it up. So that's kind of an analogy for you to understand that relative knowledge, it works, but for just a little circumstance. And this absolute knowledge, this works all the time. So why even want knowledge? Why have knowledge? All right. Just two more points, and then I'm going to go on. The other day, there was, not too long ago, there was a hurricane. So when there's a hurricane, you need some shelter. So this fella came by, and he had this little teeny umbrella, the kinds that they serve out with like a drink, a lemon, and then there's a little umbrella. So he said, here you go. So would that work very well? Nah, not very well. So the idea is that we all want happiness and we need a shelter because there's something coming. It may be a nice day today, but we understand that there's something coming. So this is going to be a little bit about how Krishna, he understands that dilemma we're in. We want always happiness, but we're in a place where you need to have shelter. Just the other day, we were sitting here chanting our japa, and a wind came through, maybe a day or two ago, and it blew the doors open. And it was quite startling. So at any time, has anybody ever been afraid here? Has any time anything's ever happened that kind of startled you, scared you? Oh, yeah, we got one out there, Divyanga. I could ask what it is, but... Anyway, every one of us probably has that experience. And that's, so we'll pay attention because we need to know how to have a good shelter. I was going to say it later, but while it's on my mind. All right. How about swimming? Anybody goes swimming? There's a thing called a rip current. You know what a rip tide is, a rip current? They're scary. Has anybody ever been in one? You got one. Oh, a couple of the kids have been in one. So what did you do? What did you do when you got caught in that rip current?
Ooh.
So grabbing on the piece of wood didn't really work that good.
Not that good.
Oh, a log. That would be better. Yeah, you swim sideways. But the idea is that you need a shelter. So maybe if somebody came by in a boat, you would think that would be a good shelter. Get on a boat. But then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 2:67, he says, even if you're on a boat, a good boat of discrimination of matter and spirit, if a strong wind comes by, it can blow you off course. So better than a boat would be a ship. Ah. Now, what's the best type of ship to get? So we're reading about it now. We're talking about a relationship with Krishna. Okay. And that's our shelter because of this. Okay. So I'm gonna, that just came to me today. So. All right. So in the world of duality, so-called knowledge is meant for facilitating enjoyment of it. But we already know the wise don't delight in that. He instead engages himself in trying to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all. Okay, now when you satisfy Krishna, I think we had that a couple classes ago, it's called Hari Toshinam. I think that's right. And maybe somebody here, you've done something that either pleased your parents, pleased your teacher, pleased somebody, and you said, oh, I feel so good about that. So that's our nature. We feel good when we please. So here they're saying, if I please Krishna, there's some different verses that say, what is there left? What else is there left? So we're learning how we can be pleasing to Krishna. In fact, one place Prabhupada said, when you live to be enjoyed by Krishna, you're liberated. So you live to be enjoyed by Krishna. And we learn how to do that here. That's what we're doing. Here to make advancement? Or is that here to make advancement? All right. Can't avoid those. Pundit, you know. Okay. All right. So this is pure bhakti yoga. Transcendental knowledge is greater than ordinary pious activities as the chanting of mantras. But pure devotional service is greater than even knowledge. And that's, all right, one more thing. There was a jnani. You know jnanis? They're the ones that kind of know it all. They're very smart jnanis. So he says, I live in the light. Of course, this light is Brahman, and they're being able to discriminate everything. So he says, I live in the light. And the devotee, he says, I live in delight because devotees are having such a wonderful time, Kevala Nandakan. So then he says, it's all one. So the devotee says, Radha and Shyam Sundar, they're the one for me. And he was starting to get a little frustrated. You know, devotees are playful. So he says, I know everything. And what's the devotee say? It's not what you know, it's who you know. So couldn't miss that opportunity. All right. So that's why it says pure devotional service, that's how we know Krishna, bhakti mama bhijananti, is greater than even knowledge. After this, Lord Krishna requested by Sri Uddhava to describe the full, in full detail, pure transcendental knowledge and devotional service related to the same instructions that the greatest of Vaishnavas, Bhishma Dev, gave on these topics to Sri Yudhisthira on the occasion of the Battle of Kurukshetra. So most of us have some Mahabharata stories being told to us, so we remember how Yudhisthira, suppose you do something wrong and you feel bad about it. You think, oh, I caused this to happen. Oh, I don't know. I feel so bad. Yudhisthira is thinking the whole battle of Kurukshetra was because of him. So all the husbands, all the fathers, all the sons, all the widows, all the children, everything that's been thrown into just complete chaos is his fault. And he's such a soft-hearted, kind person. Can you just imagine how bad he felt? He went to Krishna, and Krishna, he couldn't relieve him of that anxiety that he was feeling. So Krishna asked him to talk to Grandfather Bhishma, who at that time, being such an incredible personality, he's lying down being shot with so many arrows that it held him off the ground and formed a bed. He's laying on a bed of arrows. So if I get like one ant bite, I'm devastated. You know, so imagine arrows going through you, holding you up, and he's speaking crystal clear philosophy that everybody's listening to. What a personality. He's a Mahajan Yena Katasa Panta. He's a great Mahajan. So he eliminated this anxiety. So the same point here is being made that Uddhava is asking, where's the shelter? Where's the shelter in this world? You know, this, there's, I think if we consider for a moment, there is a problem that we will run into sometime or another. Almost everything we're doing, in fact, why we're in school is because we want to be ready for some problems that are coming up. There are generally three or four, depending if you're looking at the Jamamritajar Vyadi. So, of course, when you're young, you don't remember the Janma. Mrityu, won't happen here. That's death. We'd never think that's going to happen. Even though people are dying all around, it's the most wonderful thing. And Jamamritajara, well, when you're young, you don't usually have a problem thinking about old age. But I can tell you, I got an acute case of it. It's not so cute anymore. It's progressive. And it, like, there's some people that are right-handed and left-handed. So did you ever try to write with your other hand? It doesn't cooperate. For most of us, there may be something. So when you get a little bit older, you get two of the wrong hands. Your dexterity starts to go away. All your different things start not working. And it's quite an experience that Krishna set up for us. And Vyadi. Now everybody gets a little glimpse of Vyadi just to keep us in line. And that's disease. When you get old, this whole body is something like a jar, a container of disease. So I call it a jar of Vyadi. Jamamrita jar of Vyadi. And that's what. But anyway, we can see that immediately we want a shelter. We go and say, give me a pill, give me something, because it really hurts. You know, we don't like that. Okay. Oh, boy, they're already gone. Didn't even finish the first part. All right, Krishna. Okay. So we just talked about Yudhisthira and made the comparison here as being related. It's because the shelter is a very important thing. This is Krishna, yada, yada, yadharmasya. He loves us. And when you see somebody that you love suffering, it pulls on your heartstrings. So you tune those strings and you play a nice melody. So these verses. Following this, after being asked about yama, those are rules, and other practices of yoga, the Lord enumerated, tells, I guess, the 12 kinds of yama, beginning with non-violence, and the 12 kinds of niyama, beginning with bodily cleanliness. Okay, so now we'll actually kind of start the class. Text one. Maybe we should just read it all together because I've taken up so much time. Keisha, maybe all together.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Yodhidhya Shuddha Sampanna Atmavan Manumanika Maya Matram Nidam Gyatva Jnanam Chamayi Sanyase.
And would you do the word for word too, please?
Yeah. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Yaha.
Yaha.
One who.
One who.
Vidya.
Vidya.
With realized knowledge.
With realized knowledge.
Sutta.
Sutta.
And preliminary scriptural knowledge.
And preliminary scriptural knowledge.
Sampanna.
Sambandaha.
Endowed.
Endowed.
Atmavan.
Atmavan.
Self-realized.
Self-realized.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Anumanika.
Anumanika.
Engage in impersonal speculation.
Engage in impersonal speculation.
Maya.
Maya.
Illusion.
Illusion.
Matram.
Matram.
Only.
Only.
Idam.
Idam.
This universe.
This universe.
Gyatva.
Gyatva.
Knowing.
Knowing.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Such knowledge and the means of achieving it.
Such knowledge and the means of achieving it.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Mai.
Mai.
To me.
To me.
Sanyasit.
Sanyasit.
One should surrender.
One should surrender. Okay, just a couple for the words for words. When it says self-realized, so you should learn how to spell in school. I was never very good at it. So when I heard the word realized, I thought it meant that these eyes could see reality, the real eyes, because the eyes that we have now, they only generally see the material energy, that Krishna isn't seen with those eyes, but he's seen with realized. So we get realized knowledge by studying Krishna consciousness and applying it, not just learning it, like, oh, this is what they say, but doing it. You just have to do it. So there's a difference, and that's what's being discussed here is, okay, I'll learn it, but I'm not going to do it. I may be able to repeat it, but I'm not going to do it. So that stays with a separation. Okay, the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, a self-realized person who has cultivated spiritual knowledge up to the point of enlightenment, so the light is on, he can see what is matter and what is spirit, and who is free from impersonal speculation. You know, impersonal speculation is still that I don't have to surrender. I've learned everything. It's like if you went to, you learn the security codes to try to go around them. It's not that you want to be an honest person. So Krishna tells them a lot of things, but it's usually said dry speculation. And you know why the word dry is used? Anybody heard that before, dry speculation? Nobody? Oh, yeah, you got something. Okay. Dry means it's not wet. Way of thinking, right? Okay, but now wet is, how do you relate that to taste? Taste. Wet and taste kind of go together. So in Sanskrit they call it ras. There's a juice in it. Oh, juice, that's it. So the wet is called juice. So we use that term to say that there's some happiness there, the real juice of something, the real ras. So since they haven't got any ras with Krishna, it's dry. And after a while, dry doesn't work because we all need to be juiced up once in a while. Okay. Who is free from impersonal speculation, understanding the material universe to be simply an illusion, should surrender unto me both that knowledge and the means by which he achieved it. I don't know if I, maybe I should read the whole thing because I break stuff up and it's hard to follow the train of thought. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, a self-realized person who has cultivated spiritual knowledge up to the point of enlightenment and is free from impersonal speculation, understanding the material universe to be simply illusion, should surrender unto me both that knowledge and the means by which he achieved it. Okay, so this is a little bit about the multiplying by zero. He explains it through the whole chapter, but then he says he should surrender unto me both the knowledge and the means by which he achieved it, which you can get, there's knowledge comes in different ways. You can get knowledge depending on what you associate with. Like the Upanishads, you can understand Brahman, and then different scriptures, you understand the yogi. And then with bhakti, we're understanding Krishna. Bhakti mam api jananti. Krishna can only be known by this loving devotion, because the reciprocation you get from Krishna is him directly, so you understand Krishna. Purport. Maya matram idam gyantva indicates knowledge that the eternal spirit soul and the eternal personality of Godhead are completely separate from the temporary qualities of the material world. Okay, who got that? Did you get that? Who got it? Anybody raised their hand that got what we just said? Oh, well, you're an adult. Okay. All right, anyway. How about anybody younger? Sorry. Okay, so maybe we should read it again, because we could just keep on reading, but if nobody knows, that's the first sentence of the paragraph, which generally means everything's going to expand on that point. So, this verse is talking about nitya nityanam chetana chetananam, that there's two nityas. There's one nityanam and there's one nitya. There's a singular eternal, and then there's lots of other eternals. So what's the difference? You know the difference between the nitya and the nityanam? Yeah, he's single. What's he do that's different? You know what he does? Come on, what's he do that's different? What's he do? He's maintaining everybody else. The one, we're all dependent on the one who's taking care of all the rest of us. So he's recognized that. This is a very elevated state, actually, because in the material world, we're thinking, I can do it. 327, the living entity, he thinks that he's the doer. But he's not independent in his doing. So we're learning about this environment we're in. You know something wrong with the environment we're in? Who knows what's wrong with this environment? I gave it a little while ago in a different form. It has janma. You know janma? Birth. But you know there's a problem with janma. It's fatal. Anybody who gets it dies from it. It's just a question of time, and you never know when it's coming. And Lord Brahma, he set up this world that there's five engagements for the living entity. 3, 12, 2. And he says one of them is that there's a sense of death here. Like someone says, how you feel today? You know how people say that. And due to my nature, I tell them, well, I'm Satchitananda, but I got a touch of this material energy. You know how that'll make you feel? Makes you feel like you could die. Okay, that's... you got to think for a second. All right. So, this material energy, there's a problem with it. So, when Krishna comes to try to get you to solve this problem, you need a good... was it a boat to cross the ocean of material existence? Oh, you need a ship. What kind of ship? A relationship with Krishna. All right. So we're going to try to go through this. The word vidya, Sutta Sampadan means that one should cultivate Vedic knowledge for the purpose of enlightenment and not for to make a show of mysticism, intellectuality, maybe, and or impersonal speculation. So we know what those words mean. Make a show. You know, show bottles? They used to have in pharmacies, they would have a big bottle of blue and a big bottle of green. And they really didn't do anything. They had no active ingredients in them. They were just show bottles, just to look. And there's a word, placebo. Maybe you know that one. It's a Latin word, but it gets used in medicine. When they're doing tests on medicine, they give two groups of people the medicine to see if it actually works or if it's just in your mind. So they give one group the medicine, and the other group they get, it looks just like the medicine, but it's missing the active ingredient, which is actually the medicine. The rest of it is like a vehicle, just something so you can put the medicine in it. And that's called a placebo. It's just a show, just to see if you can be convinced mentally that you're all right. Sometimes, like in personalists, they're convinced that they're liberated by some mental concoction, but they're not. And what's the example that they use for this is parrots, I think? It's a parrot. The parrot, you can teach, anybody ever taught parrots to, they can learn words, or African greys, they learn different words. So you can teach a bunch of words to them, and they may even chant Hare Krishna. There was one on the internet not too long ago where this bird was chanting Hare Krishna, whole verse. It sounded quite interesting. It sounded like actually some of the Japa, the devotees that I hear. It was funny. It sounded just like... Anyway, so the analogy was extended that when the cat comes and grabs hold of the bird, does the bird continue to take shelter and chant Hare Krishna? No. He goes, ah, ah, ah. So, show bottle. It really didn't have the essential element of surrender and loving relationship. Okay, so it didn't, that ship wouldn't hold water. Okay. You got to find out what's going to float your ship. All right, float your boat. Okay. So we're going to read that a little bit more. The purpose of enlightenment is not to make a show of mysticism, intellectuality, or impersonal speculation. Having neutralized the illusory effect of Maya, one should then transfer one's attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrendering the process of philosophical negation to Lord Krishna. Okay, who's got that one? Each sentence here is really packed with a lot of stuff. There's a lot of prerequisites. Oh, you got it, or are you just scratching your ear? Just scratching your ear. Oh, playfulness. Can't stop playing. That's just the nature that we have. So, therefore, I'm trying to accommodate it here. All right, neutralized the illusory effect of Maya. So what's Maya's two main businesses, the things that we think of when we're in Maya? We're separated from Krishna. So if Krishna is not the one, then maybe I am Ishwaraham, Aham Bhogi, Bhagavan Sukhi, that I am the enjoyer, I'm perfect. Okay, and what else? Krishna, he says that Isha Vaishya Dam Sarvam, everything is, who knows the rest of that one? Isha Vaishya Dam Sarvam Yak. Anybody? Okay. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. Okay, what's the illusion then? If it's not Krishna's, whose is it? Mine, yeah, so it's I and mine. So the illusory effects of Maya is I think I and mine. So he's got past that. I mean, imagine being free from I and mine. Well, thank you all for coming. I hope you can remember to float your boat on the ship relationship of Krishna and the crossing over the ocean of material birth and death. Time's up with that. All right. So we're going to read on now, changing slightly our gears here. Srila Jiva Goswami gives the example that when there is danger, the king may issue weapons to the private citizens. But when the military victory, after the military victory, the individual citizens return the weapons to the king. So we know what that is relating to. What they're referring to is this knowledge. You're talking about the knowledge, the weapon to fight Maya. But ultimately, after you've conquered Maya, what do you have to continue with the weapons for? So here that's Jiva Goswami's making the same point. The purpose of Gyan, it has its beginning, it has its end, and because we're in the 11th canto in the Uddhava Gita, the next chapter is Bhakti Yoga. This is Gyan, perfection of spiritual knowledge. We're understanding where Gyan comes in, what its purpose is, and ultimately when it's no longer needed. Just like we were talking about the Agyani, he builds a boat, 719, that he's gathering all his knowledge. And what's this knowledge? He's building a boat out of this knowledge. And the knowledge is to take him across the ocean of nescience. But a very strange thing happens when Vasudeva Sarvaniti, he realizes the whole ocean then shrinks to a little calf's footprint water contained in it. And he just steps over and he doesn't need the boat anymore and he leaves it for us. And that's how to surrender. So when one is actually, after many, many births, if you take the slow boat to China, I guess, take this slow boat, not on the relationship, then you finally get to surrender. And that's after many births, one is actually knowledge, he surrenders. So we're about halfway there, 5/9 Nishta. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expands this point of this verse as follows. Okay. Somehow or other, the living entity has to free himself from material illusion which has covered him since time immemorial, cultivating desirelessness and renunciation by practice of the mystic yoga system. The living entity develops knowledge of illusion and may thus lift himself above the reach of material ignorance. However, once one is situated on the transcendental platform, both knowledge of illusion and the process of acquiring such knowledge has no further practical application. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that a man may be haunted by a ghost of a snake or a tiger as long as a man is possessed and thinks, I am a snake, I am a tiger. Attempts will be made to counteract the ghostly influence by application of jewels, mantras, and herbs. But when the man is freed from possession of ghosts, he again thinks, I am Mr. So-and-so, the son of Mr. So-and-so, and returns to his normal nature. At that time, the jewels, mantras, and herbs have no further immediate application. The word vidya in this verse thus indicates knowledge acquired through philosophical analysis, mystic yoga, austerities, and renunciation. Okay, so the word vidya in this verse indicates that knowledge acquired through philosophical analysis, mystic yoga, austerities, and renunciation. Such knowledge of the temporary illusory nature of this world counteracts ignorance, and there are many Vedic scriptures that train the living entity in such knowledge. Gradually, one gives up the false identification with the material body and mind, and with those material objects that interact with the body and mind. Oh, I didn't punctuate that exactly right. I'll read it again. Gradually, one gives up the false identification with the material body and mind, and with those material objects that interact with the body and mind. Having realized such counteractive knowledge, one must engage in loving service of the personality of Godhead and become a pure devotee. Sometimes we have the verse 1854, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Labhate Param. When one isn't completely in Krishna conscious, there is naturally little interest in innumerable details of illusion, and gradually one is transferred to the spiritual world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksumalitanyena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Jaitam Sarita Pangor Mama Manda Materkati Matsarva Sapatam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano. Thank you. Any questions, reflections, comments, criticisms, etc.? All right. I can read the verse again and see if we got the understanding there. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, I was going to read the last verse of this chapter too. A self-realized person who has cultivated spiritual knowledge up to the point of enlightenment and who is free from impersonal speculation, understanding the material universe is simply an illusion, should surrender unto me both that knowledge and the means by which to achieve. So listen to the last verse. Well, actually, it's grouped with, it's six verses grouped together. So if you want, I'll just read this one verse, but I just want to get to the last line. But we'll read the six verses since we got an attentive audience here. Actual opulence is my own nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through which I exhibit six unlimited opulences. The supreme gain of life is devotional service unto me, and actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality. Remember the duality, matter and spirit, false perception. So you have real eyes, which is, you can see. Oh, this is 11:19:40. Well, thank you. So we can read it together, that way you don't have to, can catch all of my mispronounced words. All right. The supreme game of life is devotional service to me, and actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul. The soul, of course, the soul means spirit, but under illusion he thinks he's the body, which is made of matter. So those two together constitute the duality. Real modesty is to be disgusted with improper activities, and beauty is to possess good qualities such as detachment. Real happiness is to transcend material happiness and unhappiness, and real misery is to be implicated in searching for sex pleasure. A wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage, and a fool is one who identifies with his material body and mind. The path of life is that which relates, which leads to me. And the wrong path is sense gratification, by which consciousness is bewildered. Actual heaven is the predominance of the mode of goodness, whereas hell is the predominance of ignorance. I am everyone's true friend, acting as the spiritual master of the entire universe, and one's home is the human body. My dear friend Uddhava, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be a rich to be rich. And one who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. One who attaches himself to sense gratification is the opposite, a slave. Thus, Uddhava, I have elucidated all of the matters about which you inquired. There is no need for a more elaborate description of these good and bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself a bad quality. That was what I was getting to. The best quality is transcend material good and evil. Isn't that interesting? So it says here at the end, no need for a more elaborate description of good and bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad in itself is a bad quality. All right. Anything to be added, subtracted, multiplied?
But isn't it,
aren't
we supposed to actually know good and bad?
Could you speak a little louder?
Aren't we supposed to actually know the difference between good and bad, so we do the good?
Are we supposed to know the difference between good and bad? Yeah, that is. Why would you ask such a question? Uh-oh. Well, if you simplify it, once I had a class with some children, super juniors, and I asked them, I said, what makes something good or bad? How do you define what makes something good or bad? And generally we just can list symptoms of what are good and bad. So I said, well, let's just think about it for a minute. How about when you come out of the house, and maybe you're limping, or you're coughing, or you're holding your side. Somebody, one of your friends comes up to you and he says, what's he say to you? Hey, what's the matter? What's wrong? Of course, what's the matter? I could work with that too, you know. But they usually say, what's wrong? Isn't it? So, Satchitananda is what's right. And when you're not feeling Satchitananda, something's wrong, and as you pointed out, what's the matter? Right, there's duality. So wrong is what causes this pain in the material world. So as soon as there's some pain, people want to eliminate that. They say, well, what's wrong? So ultimately, if you take it to the absolute platform, we jump ship. We're not in relationship with Krishna. So we're trying to do something in this material world, and it's causing us this sources of misery. So the original pain, if you want to really get into that like that, the Paradukha Dukhi, he's recognizing that we're unrequiting Krishna's love. That's right now, some of us have children, some of us are children, but you give your love to someone and they don't reciprocate with you. That's felt. What's it felt like? Anybody know what it feels like? Nobody knows? Oh, it feels bad. It's wrong. It feels bad. Okay, so if you want to take that as a center point, you could build a whole philosophy around that. And how will you experience what that's like? How do you experience someone else's, what they're feeling? It's hard to experience what someone else is feeling, isn't it? How would you do it? Sometimes they say, maybe if you went through the same thing yourself, you'd feel that. You ever hear that? Walk a mile in my shoes, or empathy, something like that. Well, this gets into another heart-rendering subject, on the view that Krishna says, okay, I'll set up a situation where you can experience what this feels like. It's only temporary, so I'm going to give you a temporary ID for experiencing, I call it love rehab. So, because what's it feel like when it doesn't feel right? isn't it? You've given your love to someone and they're not even practically acknowledging your existence. You know, maybe they, so that's a theme of something that I'm always thinking about writing, called a book, Empathic Theology, getting to the heart of the matter, that this whole world is a reflection, it's a sample, it's an index to the spiritual world. But you're put here with the temporary, you know that temporary ID that we got? What's that called when it's temporary? Oh, it's false. It's a false identification. And one of the unique features is that Krishna, he's the enjoyer. He's the male. And we're prakriti. We're to be enjoyed. We're feminine in our nature, servants of Radharani, expansions. And in this world, you're giving, when you come into this world, you're giving a temporary, just for rehab, ID that you're the controller, you're the enjoyer. And then you take care of someone, either your family, well, family members are great for this. You know, you give them everything. And sometimes you don't feel completely satisfied in your reciprocation. Not that it couldn't happen, but generally this happens. So if we take that as a time to reflect and think, Krishna, have I ever done anything like that to you? Have I ever not reciprocated properly? What have you really ever done for me, Krishna? You know, I'm guiding your thing. I'm giving you everything that you know. I'm maintaining you. I'm staying there. I'm doing everything. But you didn't want to see me, so you turned your back on me. So anyway, that's another but since I asked, I guess. All right. Long answer, short answer. All glories, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada.